Well, hello, everybody, and welcome to Conversations with Women Like Me. I'm Julie Fairhurst. I'm the founder of the book program. And today I'm here with one of our newest writers, Tracy Dion. Tracy has written in our new book, which I don't even have yet. I have to look at her bio just with papers because it's not out yet. But the book is Women Like Me, Reclaiming Our Power. And I'm telling you, the stories in this book are phenomenal. So it's hopefully going to be out soon. So stay tuned. But if you're watching this video or listening to this podcast and the book's already out, you should grab it because it is really, really good. So Tracy, thank you so much for being willing to be here and have a conversation with me.
Thank you. And thank you for having me today. And I'm really grateful for this opportunity and trying new things and even getting out of my personal comfort zone a little bit. So my first time doing an interview like this. So I really appreciate it. Thank you.
Well, I'm glad you're doing very well. Okay, I'm going to start by reading Tracy's bio, and then we're going to jump into her story. So Tracy Dion and her story is Finding Gratefulness in Grief, the Journey of a Deep-Seated Friendship Through Love and Loss Transformed into Daily Gratitude. She has such a beautiful story. You guys have to read it. Tracy is an elementary school teacher, and she is a proud mother of two boys, and she enjoys her family life, and she's been with her husband for over 12 years. So that's good. You're probably done now. You're good for life. She attended Kwantlen University, and then she moved to the University of the Fraser Valley to complete her Bachelor's of Arts degree with a minor in psychology. She then moved to Prince George, British Columbia, for 2 years to obtain her bachelor's degree of education. Tracy enjoys staying active by running. She loves the beach and traveling to new places. And she has a bucket list of places she wants to visit over the years. She recently attended a paint and sip night. Now, were you sipping wine?
No, actually, I didn't even have a drink that night, actually. I just painted with my girlfriend. Okay. And I was like, just got too busy chatting. We didn't even get a drink.
No sipping. And now she enjoys painting with acrylic paints in her free time. Tracy loves to explore nature, spending time on the water in the summer, boating, kayaking, and paddle boarding. So, wow, you've got quite a full life. Hey, so where do you want to visit? What's on your bucket list to go visit?
Thank you. Well, Hawaii still. I'm not going to let COVID win. We had that trip all planned and then COVID hit and a week before we were supposed to go. My husband and I and the boys, unfortunately, like the rest of the world, we didn't get to go to Hawaii, but Hawaii, Iceland, Belize.
Iceland. Oh, we have a record
Italy,
Iceland.
Yeah. Oh. It's been on my list. I love Italian food, like pizza, pasta, that kind of stuff. Oh. I can't wait to go see Italy and see some of the history and the art museums and try the food. That's also on my list when my boys get a bit older. Disneyland with the boys when they're tall enough to go on every ride.
Yeah.
That's a bucket list too.
Yeah. Oh, good. Oh, Iceland. Because that's a little bit like, you know, wouldn't hear too many people say, oh, on my bucket list is Iceland.
Oh my goodness, I can't wait. My husband, we Googled it, we looked at pictures. It has so many beautiful waterfalls and everything. Yeah. And they have so much stuff that's ahead in global warming as well. There's a lot of different things to see there. So we're like, oh, we got to put that on our bucket list. So
wow.
For sure.
Nice. Okay. Well, those are all good places to go to for sure. Okay. So let me ask you, Trace, why did you want to write in the book? What made you want to do that?
You know what? I wanted to write in the book for a couple of reasons. One, I found that, you know, I found through the process of writing it helped healing. And the other reason I really wanted to write in the book was to help other people. Like, I'm just hoping that there's something in there, something that I've said or something that they connect with, whether it's me or my girlfriend Janine in there. Maybe that people can relate more to what she was going through at the time. And I'm just really hoping that we can help people, like when they are going through all these big emotions and hard times in life. And I really do think that the grief itself is an emotion that a lot of people have a hard time with, struggling with, because it happens so quickly, it happens so fast. It can be very traumatic, especially when it's out of the norm. When like someone's 97, where it's sad, but we know they've had that really good long life versus younger people, or when you see the changes happen and progress quickly. So I'm really hoping that my story will just help people.
Oh, well, you are so right. Grief, people sometimes don't know what to do with it.
No.
No, it's one of those emotions that just lingers. Yeah. Did you have a hard time writing?
And some parts I did. Some parts when I typed it, I would start crying. Or my other girlfriend that I was best with, which is in the book, Amanda, I actually ended up calling her and saying, hey, can I just run this by you? Like, how do you feel about this? And she's like, yeah, Teresa, that's good. And she's like, but don't forget about this little piece. And I'm like, ooh, yeah, that's great. That's good. That's a good point to add to it, right? Yeah. So I kind of collaborated with the people around me a bit as well. And they sort of helped me tweak things or like put in the different emotions in it as well. So I was like, oh yeah, that's good. I like that. Because I don't really think that when you write, you have my ideas, but then people kind of put in what they thought would help, you know, like, oh, I like that. Or, well, maybe tweak that a bit. So I was like, okay, good.
That's nice.
Yeah. And it's my first time writing anything like that too. So just trying to put the words on the page. And I mean, we write as teachers, like report card comments and things like that, but it becomes a very structured thing, right? So it's different because you're making it personal and you're writing about yourself, right?
Yes.
And write about yourself. That's the hardest piece.
It is the hardest thing. Everybody says that's the hardest thing. When we're doing the bios in the book, oh my goodness, it's like pulling teeth.
Yeah. But yeah. I think past that and put the words down,
yes,
and get the emotion. And I did have some tears along the way crying, and I did have some moments of like relief, and I did have some moments of gratitude and being grateful for this opportunity. And I continued to have all those emotions along the way, especially when it's going to be coming out soon too. So there's excitement. So
yeah. So, well, why don't you tell us a little bit about your friend? Because this, your story really is about the loss of a dear, dear friend at a young age.
It is. And actually, it was funny because I don't know if you've heard, Julie, if you've heard the new song by Ed Sheeran, Eyes Closed, but I was driving with my boys the other day and that song came on the radio. And the song is about him losing his young friend when he was in his 30s, right? But there was a line in there. And when I was driving with my boys, I just started crying. But I'm like, oh my goodness, that is so true. So he says in the song, it hit me so hard. Oh, how could it be this heavy? And I thought, you know what? Good for him. Good for him braving and writing a song about how hard and how heavy it is when it just hits. And I thought, and I was driving and I'm bawling and I'm crying and I'm like, but it's so true. It's that heaviness that you don't know what to do with, that emptiness. Like, yeah. And I wanted to write to know, and like other people around you don't know what to say either. Like their emotions are high too, because they're like, I don't know how to help, or what can I say, or what can I do?
Yeah.
And I'm like, there's nothing. It just, it's the journey that happened, and it just happened quickly. And it was short, which, you know, in some ways I'm grateful for, because she didn't suffer for months or years or go through all these kind of long treatment things. But unfortunately, it being so quick kind of leaves you with like, okay, did I say everything I wanted to say? Did I tell her everything I wanted? Did she know? And at the end of the day, she did. We had some really good conversations, which I talked about in the book, about at the end of things that were important. And she's like, oh, I'm realizing, you know, family's important and, you know, connection and doing things. And sometimes, you know, I look back and think, oh, well, I was just too tired. I should have gone out with my friends and just spending more time with them. So we really talked about connections with people at the end.
So you, and you had a rough time because you wanted to go up and see her, but then it was COVID.
Yeah. Well, and I also struggled with that. Like, okay, so it was COVID, which was fine. And like, I had all my vaccines. So, and she's like, so she finally had gotten a couple of her vaccines through the approval of the chemo treatment. So yeah. She had been vaccinated, her husband's vaccinated. And, you know, so there was that, like, do I go, do I not, do I want to get her sicker? And then they had put in the restrictions. And then everyone's like, well, Tracy, you can still go. You should be able to stay. Like, you know, you're going to visit your sick friend. And I'm like, but I don't know, like, what if I get stopped? And like, so then I was like, oh, well, maybe I shouldn't. And so that all these questions go through your head and you're like, but I just wanted, honestly, in my heart, I just wanted to get in my car and drive and see her and hug her.
Yeah.
But then I have to take care of my family and my friends and I don't want to get anyone sick and bringing people back. And it was like, oh my goodness, it should not be this hard of a decision. I talked it through with my husband and he's like, you should go. And then I'm like, well, I don't know. And then, so at the end of the day, I decided not to go. And then we decided to wait. Restrictions did get lifted and it ended up working out for the best. And I think sometimes the universe just protects us from things and puts us in the right place at the right time, because I had gone up with my family to see her and see her house and visit her. And then we were sitting there chatting and then, you know, talking away, having our tea and everything like we normally do. And then she's like, Tracy, stop. And I'm like, what? Like, what? She's like, get your camera. And I'm like, why? Like, she's like, take a camera, take a picture. And here she had noticed my two boys. Well, actually, this is the picture here. And she's like, take it. And I was like, oh, like, I didn't think anything of it. You know, I see my kids all the time, you know, they do all the time. And she stopped everything and was like, Tracy, that is the moment. That's life. Take it. And so I did. And so I framed the picture and I keep it on my wall. But every time I look, it reminds me to just stop. Like, it doesn't matter. You're here. We're present. My family was there. She was there. Her husband was there. And we were all there. And that's all that mattered. Like, it didn't matter about the COVID or not being there a month ago or a year ago or even a day ago, because I got to hug her. I got to talk to her and she just taught me to stop and look around and be grateful for what I already had in front of me. So yeah. I have that picture and I have it framed and every day I think, okay, right. If I get overwhelmed, just stop. It's good. They're here. Your boys are growing. They're happy. You're happy. You got your friends. You got your family. And so she really just taught me to slow down and say thank you and look at the little things, because in our conversations, the things that we talked about the most weren't like how much money we had or things like that. It was the moments we shared, the moments we laughed, the moments we remembered. It was all the times we had spent together, the good, the bad, the ugly, right? So, and the times we laughed together, the times we cried together, the times we helped each other through the hard moments. Yeah, so
for sure.
That was our appreciation at the end.
Well, and when you mentioned, you know, helping each other through the hard moments, I know you mentioned in your story that you were worried about her husband.
Yes. And I, yes, because I'm like, how are you? How's your husband doing? And she's like, Tracy, thank you so much for asking. I'm like, can I have his number? I want to talk. I just want to make sure it's okay. And she's like, please do. He's struggling and, you know, it's hard on him. And then, like, she couldn't really help. Like, she could and she couldn't. So I was like, okay, I'll talk to him. And so I had phoned him and talked to him. And we had a good cry together. Because he's like, Tracy, it's just so hard to come home to my house. That's so, because they had just moved to that place not long before all this happened, too. So they had just moved into this new place. And she had just decorated it and got beautiful pillows everywhere and decorated, like, beautiful plants everywhere and done all this stuff. And then that happened. They found out they got the diagnosis and that. And so he was just really struggling going home. And he was telling me how hard that is. I couldn't even imagine going and then, oh, but I want my wife to be here with me. I want my friend to be here with me. Right.
So, yeah.
And those moments are hard. And just sometimes even saying the right things to the people at the right time, but it really did have to take care of everyone. Like, Her parents, her sister, her brothers, her husband, our friend circle, because a lot of us have been close friends for over 20 years. So there's like a group of us that have kind of grown up together, gone to weddings together, seen each other through all the changes, seen each other raise kids and have kids. And so just, I really learned we have to be there for everybody. Like everyone was going through something. And
yes.
Are you okay? Are you okay? No, I'm not okay.
Yeah.
Well, listen.
It sounds like a really supportive group.
Yes, I'm very, very lucky that way, very blessed. But I just, when I talk to other people, they're like, oh, no one ever asked me if I was okay, or nobody checked in with me. And
I'm like,
nobody even took a moment to say, how are you? Or how do you feel about things? Yeah. So, I really wish that maybe we can change that piece, like, and focus on everybody in the circle.
No, absolutely. You're right. And I think that, everyone is so focused on the person who's ill and dying but there's possibly parents and spouses or children or aunties and uncles and grandmas and best friends and all of those people are hurting.
Yeah. And just sometimes just even listening to them or just saying, how's it going? Are you okay? What can I do? How can I help? And so a lot of us came together because my other girlfriend actually got to go up there before I did. And then they went up and she was having trouble walking. So they went out and like bought her a walker so she could get around her house a bit more. And so like we did all these things because out of love, because we cared. So we wanted to make it easier, more comfortable, better. Right. And I think that's where the community piece comes in. Like you said, it's really your family, your friends, your community, the people around you, those connections. So if anything, I really think it's those connections you need, your coworkers, your friends, your husband, your everything. You just need people.
Yeah. And that's really like she said, it's all about the moments of life. And that picture of your boys, I'm so glad that you shared it. It's beautiful. And and that's what it's all about. Absolutely. She's wise. Yes. Those were wise things that she was saying. And I know that you also wrote that after she passed, you started to see feathers.
Yeah. Well, and that's kind of been the interesting part of it too, because so she passed away and then my husband had gone away with his parents and they had sent me this thing. They're like, had gone away to Kelowna and they're like, oh, there's a feather on the doorstep of the hotel. That's Janine. So my husband had sent me a text message and saying, oh, Janine was here and here's a feather. It means the passing of a loved one. And then while he was away, I kept finding feathers everywhere after that.
Oh.
Like we had one where my boys came running out of their kitchen and the vacuum was sitting against like the wall in the room. And they're like, Mom, look, come here. And I'm like, what? They're like, Mom, there's a feather hanging off of our vacuum. And there was like this white feather just hanging from the vacuum. And I'm like, oh, well, that's really weird.
That is strange, isn't it?
And then like I went in and I'm like, okay, you know, I went and I sat with my son and I was playing Playmobil with him and in his room and we're pretending to be like little characters driving them around and I had shorts on because it's summer. And then I look down and there's a feather on my leg, like a little tiny white feather. And I'm like, oh, there's a feather on my leg. How did that get here? And then it would just be like, we'd go places and we'd find them. They'd be in the car. They'd be on doorsteps. As I went for runs, they'd be on the sidewalk, on the road. And my son even would find them and he'd come running up to me and he's like, Mom, Janine says hi. Or Mom, Janine's here. And I'm like,
oh,
okay. And then I just started collecting them all.
Yeah.
And then my husband said, I want to make you a bird out of them. So he put them together and made this beautiful bird picture of all the feathers I have collected over the past year.
Wow. And we have that picture in the book.
Yeah. And that actually hangs in our kitchen as a reminder. And I still find them today in different places too. And funny moments, like at work, I had signed up and this is really strange, actually. I had signed up for work to be part of our Cherry Fox Run committee. And so anyways, because I wanted, because she passed away from cancer, so I was on our committee at school. And so we decided to do hearts that year. And then we put Cherry in the middle, and you run for someone that's either had cancer or someone, or run for Cherry. So I put Janine. And then so as we're running around the school, going around and around, and then all of a sudden this kid's like, hey, and I'm like, what? And then so I look, and here he is running with the, like, this big blue feather. And I'm like, okay. And then he just took off and was gone. And I'm like, 525 kids. This one kid tried so hard to get my attention. I turn and look, and he just held up this blue feather during the Cherry Fox Run. I started crying. I'm like, okay. And then I just kept
going.
Was
he giving it to you?
No, he just held it up. He's just like, look, look. And he just held up a blue feather and ran, kept running. And I'm like, where'd he go? And so this kid just, and it was like, why was he running with the blue feather? I have no idea. But he made sure to show me, and he held it up with pride, and he's like, look. And I'm like, okay. And then he was gone. And I'm like,
wow,
that was really weird. But like, just things like that. Like, I can't explain that. I don't know. All I know is, like, she must have been there. Like, I feel like she was there. She was supporting me. She was around me. She was like, things are okay. You're doing the right thing. You're on the right track. Thank you. Just so many things. I don't know how to explain them. They just there. And people with me don't know what to say either. Because I look down and they're like, Tracy, look. And I'm like, what? And there it is. There's the feather. And I'm like, aw. So and they're everywhere. And if you Google it and look online about feathers, they say that they leave them. A lot of people I've talked to after they've lost loved ones in grief, they'll say to me, actually, you know what? It's not feathers I find, it's dimes. They would find dimes everywhere in their house.
Really? Interesting.
Yeah. So some people it's dimes. Other people have said it's usually dimes or feathers. Like, and I've talked to quite a few different people, and they're like, oh yeah, that's happened to me too. I don't know. I'll find a dime like in random places.
Well, we've got a writer in a couple of books back, and her daughter passed away, and she sees butterflies.
Okay, yeah, I've heard that too. Yeah.
Yeah, butterflies. Wow. That's beautiful. It really is, isn't it?
Yeah. Well, it brings me comfort.
Yes, of course, of course. So how have things been for the last year then? So has, you know, like the grief process, I guess, is what I'm wondering about, is do you guys all get together as a group or?
Well, me and my girlfriend still get together. We still go into Fort Langley once a year, and we'll go to our favorite coffee shop, and we'll hang out and chat there. I still talk to her husband, and we've been in touch, and we talk on the phone and text once in a while. My husband's and our friends, we all kind of still get together and do stuff. Everyone's sort of kind of dealt with it in their own way.
Yeah.
Some of us wish we could talk about it more. Some of us are kind of more neutral about it. But everyone has kind of their own way of healing.
Yes.
Some people have, like my one girlfriend, she does TV, like broadcasting. Yes. And so she honored her in one of her episodes. This is for my friend, you know, Janine. I'm grateful for her. So everybody's kind of picked different things that they do in her honor.
So. Yeah. So do you think that then dealing with the grief then, do you think that, you know, I would guess because people don't know what to say because everyone's in grief, but I guess sometimes you don't have to say anything, just being there.
No, you know what? If I'm going to be honest, some of the best things people said to me when I was going through the hardest hit time where it feels so hard that it's not going to get better and you just can't stop crying or whatever.
Yeah.
Some of the things people said to me is they just listen and they're like, I don't know what to say. And I'm like, that's all I needed, because there is nothing to say, because you just have to get through it. And like, I remember one day I was running, my dad's like, I went for my run because I love running. That's how I de-stress. And I was running and I called my dad and I was just bawling. And he's like, what's wrong? Like, what's wrong? And I'm like, Dad, you know what? I just miss my friend. And I just cried and I just let it out. And I said, I just want her. I want my friend back. And my dad's like, I know you do. But that's all he had to say. He didn't have to say anything different. He didn't have to do anything different. He just listened. And it was like, I can't fix it, but I can listen. And I was like, thanks. Because that's what I needed in that moment, was just an ear. Someone to be like, I don't know what to say, but I got this. Like, I remember when I got the text that she had passed, I also had called one of my other girlfriends. And I called her right away. And she's like, and she goes, there it is. And she's like, Tracy, I don't know what to say to you. I'm like, there's nothing to say. I'm just letting you know. And that was it. That was our conversation. And yeah, she just said, bye. And I was like, yeah, because I don't, sometimes we just don't have the words. And sometimes the silence is enough. Like, thank you for listening to me.
Yeah. I have a girlfriend whose husband passed away a few years back. And when I went to the house, of course, there's lots of ladies there mingling around. I didn't know what to say. I just held her hand, sat beside her on the couch for half an hour. We didn't say one word to each other.
Yeah, and sometimes that's the best thing you can do.
Yeah, I mean, so I think we get uncomfortable because we want to help. We want to, you know, but really, like you just said it, there are no words. There are no words that can make it better. So just being there, holding their hand, being willing to listen. Like, I think it's wonderful that your dad, you know, that you have able to call your dad for comfort and you know, and like he said, there's, you know, he just said, I know you do.
Yeah. And my mom was the same way too. Like, when I talked to her, she's like, Tracy, I've never been through anything like this in my life. So
yeah,
she's like, I can't relate, but I can listen.
Yes.
Because I've never lost anyone at a young age.
Yeah.
Go through, like, you know, that kind of never lost a friend. Because that kind of defies the natural order of things. So that's the tricky part, right?
Yeah.
But no, my mom would just listen and be like, I'm here if you need something. I'm like, okay.
I think that's one of the things that stops people from comforting other people, is because they don't know what to say. And so they shut down and they're like, oh, well, I can't go over there, or I don't want to call because I don't even know what to say. But I think just from listening to you, it's just being there as a support.
Yeah, definitely. And I would say the people that were there for me in that support, but also just calling other people and in their support. Like, sometimes I wouldn't know what to say when I called her husband, but I'd call and he'd pick up and we just start. And sometimes it just falls. Like, you'll say what you need to say as long as you pick up the phone. And if you didn't want to talk, you wouldn't pick up the phone. So, but just trying and giving people opportunity to.
Right? Yes. Well, it's very sad, of course, but it's also a very beautiful story. And the way you write it with, you know, such love and respect for your friend. And I love the, you know, because I think if I remember correctly, when we were talking about you doing your story, is you got your gratitude from her.
Yeah, yes, because I remember seeing her like the last time I saw her, and like, that was hard because it had gone to her brain more. So she was really struggling to put thoughts together and say things. And I remember her mom and Amanda being there, and they're like, Tracy, she's just trying to say thank you. She's just trying to say thank you. But she always said thank you. Like, even when I lived with her as a roommate, when we traveled, she was always like, thank you. And I was like, you know what, if I can do that too, if she couldn't say the words, I can thank you for bringing me a cup of coffee. I can thank you for helping me. I can thank you for listening to me. And then so anyways, the moment I started adding gratitude to my life, it changed. Like, it's just been an incredible journey, and I wouldn't change it for the world. Every night I write in my journal three things I'm grateful for. Some days they're really big. Some days I'm like, oh, they're little, like, okay, my friends, my family, my house. And other days they're like, oh, I'm so grateful. You know, my colleague, I spilled my coffee. She not only helped me clean it up, but she brought me a brand new cup of coffee. Or,
aww, or yes. Sometimes
they're big things. Like, my son made me breakfast the other morning, and that was grateful for, even though it was just peanut butter toast, but he did time to think about me and make me breakfast.
Yeah.
So it's important to just think and be positive. And yes. So really healthy.
I believe that gratitude, when people really bring gratitude into their life and they are grateful, their lives change.
Oh, absolutely.
You can't have all that gratitude and not have life-changing positiveness in your life.
Yeah. And I absolutely agree with you. Just even that moment of practicing it and being grateful, because it's pretty hard to be really angry when all of a sudden you're grateful about things, or you're like, okay, well, I have my health, I can get a good meal. And then all of a sudden you're like, okay, I'm not grumpy and mad anymore.
Yeah.
Because you break it down, right? You shift thinking and mindset, right?
So. Yes, yes. Aww. Well, Tracy, thank you so much for being willing to do this. And thank you for writing in the book and then doing this little interview with me as well. I really appreciate it. And I hope that anyone who has the privilege of listening to this will understand that, first of all, if they're in an experience where someone has passed or they're ill, you know, that you don't need to know what to do, just go and be there. And then of course the other thing is being grateful for the little things,
you know,
and just, and like you say, you weren't talking about money and business, and you were talking about connections and people and love and happiness. And that's really what it's all about. We get so caught up in our everyday stuff that sometimes we forget what really, really is important. And I think that your story and you doing this today has certainly helped me anyway to remember what's important. So I appreciate that. Thank you very much.
Well, thank you, Julie. I am really grateful for this opportunity. And like I said, my first time trying new things. And I noticed you have a grateful heart sign in your back there, which I love.
Oh, yes, I do.
I'm like, yeah, I love that. So I just really try to appreciate, and I just really want to help people. So if I can, if there are people struggling or there are people going through a hard time, I just let them know it's okay not to be okay. And I just want people to know. And we sometimes forget that we always think that if people aren't in this emotional state, like we have Jodi Cardigan, she's a psychologist that we study at work, and she's wrote some books about feeling seen and stuff. And she really talks about how we get uncomfortable around people when they're not like in that emotional box that we think they should be in.
Yes.
When they get erratic or whatever, right? And then now we're uncomfortable, but we need to sit with our uncomfortable emotions sometimes.
Oh, absolutely. So important. Absolutely. Yes. It's, we're afraid sometimes to feel.
Yeah. And I think I think it's changing, and I can see people in the world changing it. I can see different people coming out and talking about it more. There's more music coming out about it now. There's more speakers coming out about it now. There's more people talking about it, which I think is going to make a big difference.
Oh, absolutely. I agree. Well, Tracy, thank you so much for doing this. Again, I appreciate you greatly. And people, the book, Women Like Me, Reclaiming Our Power. So I hope that when the book's out, you all are going to grab it. And there will be in this video and also the podcast link, I'm going to have some information. Just Tracy's bio will be in there. And I think we've got how you can reach her there as well. I was just double checking. So her email is there. If you have something that you want to share with her or a question that she can help you in any way, don't hesitate to reach out. And so all of that information will be there for you. So once again, Tracy, thank you so much for doing this. And we will chat with you again soon.
All right. Thank you. Have a lovely evening.
Thank you. Bye.
Bye.